This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant, sport formula, to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
This is another episode of the Almost Famous podcast. Ashley is going to be joining us today, yes, for our interview with a very special guest.
Spencer Swice is going to be here. You might remember Spencer. He's from Chicago, Illinois. He's going to catch up with us on everything he's doing in his life, what life has looked like post-bachelor. I know they've made some good friends along the way. Ashley's going to sit in for that interview. But before we do, I want to take a second to hang out with you all and tell you about Wells Adams and Sarah Hyland's wedding. I just got back from it, actually. I'm still a little tired. But it was an incredible event. And you can read all about it and see the pictures in Vogue, which was there to cover the wedding. It's a pretty good magazine to have cover your wedding. But a lot of Bachelor Nation guests were there. I'm going to forget some of them, but you can read about them. But it's Nick Vile. It was Chris Soules. Chris Harrison was there. Alon Gale was also there. Obviously, I was there along with Danielle Maltby. She is a friend of Wells's from Nashville. Courtney Dober was there. Grocery Store Joe. That was a big old list. I'm going to forget somebody. Oh, Caitlin Bristow, Jason Tardick. There's a lot of people. I'm going to forget somebody that I really love and care about. I really enjoyed my time with every person from Bachelor Nation that was there. I was kind of talking to Jessica about that. Is it's always good to have a reunion with people from the show and just have a second to get to know them a little better. After I get to know these people better, every time I go, man, I fairly like these people. Okay, so here's the deal. The wedding was just outside of Santa Barbara, a little town called Solvang. Solvang is a really cute town if you're ever up in that area to stop by. It was at a vineyard, one of the most incredible settings I've ever seen. The flower arrangements were spectacular. And I'm not a big like flower fan. Like I usually don't even notice that stuff. But their flower arrangements were spectacular. The food, we had some miso sea bass, which everybody was talking about. We had some beef tenderloin. The food was out of this world. It was the best wedding food I've ever had. A live band. Obviously, a lot of the Modern Family cast was there. Sean White and Nina Dobrev were also there. Jessica really loved getting to see Kaylin. Kaylin was there from Bachelor Nation. And also meeting Debbie Ryan. Jessica really liked those two girls a lot. Spent a lot of time with them. Got to hang out with them. And so the setting was this. It was a three-day event. There was a welcome party. There was the wedding and the brunch the next day. The wedding was what you would typically think a wedding would be like. It was just like obviously a little bit it was definitely like the nicest wedding I've ever been to. And then that evening we had an after party, a lot of celebration, a lot of love. You obviously know from this podcast that I love Wells. Wells is a good buddy of mine. There were obviously tears shared just in celebration of the two of them. They've had an incredible story, a long engagement. They've definitely understood the meaning of being together through sickness and in health. They both are really special people for different reasons, but they both are, that their specialness, their uniqueness makes them an incredible couple. And you could just tell at this wedding that everybody was there just to celebrate them. Like it felt just like a big party, a big celebration. You can read all about it again in Vogue magazine. Also, I think People magazine were covering some things. But that's my experience. Jessica and I had a great time. We stayed out late. We celebrated hard. We got to be around a lot of Bachelor Nation and catch up with them that we don't always get to see in person. And then obviously got to meet some new friends as well. And we're just so happy. Jessica and I are, and the Almost Famous podcast celebrates Sarah and Wells for finally being able to have their wedding, for getting married and adding one more incredible couple into this world. So that's the recap of Wells and Sarah's wedding. From what I know, I can say, because I don't know all of the rules and restrictions to what I can and cannot say about the wedding. But it's also my experience from the wedding, which was something very, very special.
Hi, Ben. I'm here. Thank you for telling us about Sarah and Wells' wedding. I just caught the end of that. It looked stunning, and her dresses were amazing based on what I saw on Instagram.
Four different dresses she wore.
Four?
Four.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I think I've only seen two. I have to go look at some pictures though. That is amazing. Wow. That's what like a real celebrity could do. Not almost famous, no, but like real famous. She can have four dresses. That's so amazing. Yeah. Okay, well, I am here in Nantucket. I've got a high noon at noon.
Where are you in Nantucket?
My sister's fiance, his family comes out here every year. And because the travel time is like 2 hours for me and Jared, it's an hour drive and then it's an hour ferry ride. This is the second time we've come up here and just spent a day. And I thought it was kind of fun to have Dawson take a ferry and just kind of like get out and like do a very New England-y vacation before the summer is over. And the summer here winds down quick. Like at night, I almost have to go out with a jacket now. And that really depresses me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I've never been to Nantucket. But I mean, it's going to be incredible. So there's a whole family coming out?
It's just his family and then my sister.
Okay.
And me and Jared. And there's like six of us right now, six, seven.
Awesome. Well,
yeah.
That's going to be special. So thanks for taking the time to sit down and chat about everything going on in Bachelor Nation. Obviously, there's a lot, as I just mentioned. I just talked about Sarah and Wells' wedding. We also have Spencer coming on. We're going to break down the episode today and then also do Bachelor headlines. A lot to talk about. So I'm glad you're here to talk about it with me. I don't know how I'd do this without you today.
Oh, you could do it without me. I know you could. Now we're going to get Spencer on the line. And then after that, we'll do the episode recap. But before we do have Spencer on, I have to say, can you think of his name without hearing Gabby say it? Spencer.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best.
You're doing.
Got the yeah down.
You got the yeah down.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. Yeah. Mm, yeah. But you have to like nod really quickly while you say it.
I wonder if when you say this to him, if he would pick up on what you're referencing.
You would, of course he would.
Okay.
There's like imitations all over the internet and I'm sure she's having a good time with them.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've really loved watching Gabby and Rachel. I've been fans of them since the beginning. And you know, when you're on this show, you always find your quirks. And then Gabby's is obviously yeah. She's a good listener. She's an active listener. I guess what we could say is at least she's listening because she's responding to the things you're saying, which is a good trait to do. it's just funny when you watch it on TV.
Yeah, but you know it's the way she says it because I feel like I say yeah as much as she does, but it's because like she has such like a quirky tendency while she does it while like her voice is also quite unique. She's like, Yeah.
So good. Hey, let's Spencer's wait in the waiting room. Let's bring him on.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So like how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you. This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray. It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that you have to feel to believe. It smells great. It's incredibly light on your skin, not greasy. It's amazing. Plus, no chemical smell since it's aerosol-free. Better control means coverage you can count on with a precision pump to get all your big and little spots.
Plus, your new favorite sprayer is refillable. Save time and money, which means more fun in the sun from your friends at Banana Boat. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. If the sun's out, the fun's out. So be ready with all new Banana Boat 360 Advanced Control Mist.
It's available in Banana Boat's high-performance, water-resistant sport formula and pediatrician-tested kids SPF 50. That is what I'll be spraying on Dawson at the beach this summer. The kid loves the beach. I love going to the beach with him. I can't wait to be able to have a fun summer activity to do together.
Anyway, I can go on and on about the importance of sunscreen, but shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Hello?
What's up, Spencer?
Hello, Spencer. Or as hey. Gabby would say, Spencer.
Yeah, no, she always had good greetings for us. I always love seeing Gabby.
Thanks for joining us today. And there's so much to talk to you about because there's what I feel so little of what we got to hear you talk about during the time on the show. We're recording this on a Tuesday, Monday night. This episode aired. It was your first episode without being on it at all. How did it feel to watch an episode knowing that you are no longer a part of the season?
It was actually definitely less anxiety driven. I think you always worry about what they're going to show, what they're not going to show. You guys have been there before, way more so than me. But it was also like a really great time for me because I got to watch my friends and support them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you guys watched last night, but I mean, we got to really understand, like, I know these guys because I spent every waking moment of them for, you know, however many weeks I was there. But I think with this season, maybe we're getting kind of somewhat half of the screen time of the people who are on the show. So you guys and all the viewers in America got to see the people that I've known now for the past couple months and got to see their personalities more, their parents who I've, you know, either met or, you know, we talked about while we were on the show. So I really enjoyed watching, even though I wasn't there, because those are some of my closest friends now. And getting to see, you know, them interact with their families as well is obviously something I still haven't even seen yet. So it was great.
Did you watch the show before you were on it?
Before, like, previous seasons? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I did. I think the first one I really watched was, I grew up with Connor Saley from Hannah Brown season. Yeah. I've been talking to him quite a bit now. But our hometown kind of we all watched, right, to support Connor. And so ever since then, I've been keeping up with the main characters, right? Like after Hannah Brown, it was, you know, Pete Weber. And so I kind of been trickling down the line, keeping in touch with the main characters and all that. So,
I love the main characters. That's awesome.
The main characters of the reality show. But yeah, no, they. I've been keeping up for the past couple of years.
So, was there like a relation there as to how you got on? Like, did Connor help you out?
No, I mean, just with a lot of advice. I was actually in the casting process for a different season, but that got put on hold for a lot of reasons, and so ended up working out for this season specifically. And I'm pretty happy about that, just because of, I know it was a weird season, but I really enjoyed my time there meeting Gabby and Rachel. And I think the guys I just kind of really got along with as well. So I couldn't have asked for a better season to be on.
Can we dig into that a little bit? You know, obviously I mentioned before you came on in your intro that you've made some good friendships from the show. You just mentioned you've made some good friendships from the show. The drama amongst the cast, I would say, was very limited compared to other seasons this season.
Yeah.
What about kind of the behind the scenes and your time with the other dudes did you find so enjoyable? Like, what was so fun about this process where some people get off the show and they're like, yeah, I didn't enjoy it. This wasn't fun for me. You obviously have a different perspective.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe if you ask like Chris, maybe he didn't have such a good time this season. But I think the rest of us did. And I'm not entirely sure, just because I haven't been on a normal season. And we could probably go back and forth about this, comparing your guys' experiences to mine. I just think that with there being two bachelorettes, there was a lot more, the stress in the house was a little bit lower at first because, you know, there's not one girl, there's not one Hannah Brown that, you know, Connor and Tyler and Peter and everybody's trying to talk to. There's two. So, you know, you had more time with at least one girl up front if you weren't sure who you wanted to, you know, pursue. And that also opened up more dialogue between the guys, like, oh, like, you know, how was your conversation with Rachel? I haven't talked to her yet. You know, what's she like? And so all these things, it was a lot less stress at first. And so that kind of built up our bonding from the start, which maybe dampened the drama later on. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that's kind of where the friendships kind of started to bloom on our season.
Did you have friends that went to the quote other side, the other team, and then you dismissed them like they weren't around anymore?
No, we missed. Yeah, we missed them a ton. It's because they did when they made it a point to be two separate seasons, two different journeys, and they they were right about that. It really was on the boat. We were in separate, areas. It was, we didn't, I think you saw, we have like the social club and some of like, I think the Rachel camp had like a different name for their crew, but yeah, we weren't hanging out. We only saw each other at cocktail parties. So, seeing the rose ceremony cocktail parties, they'll be like, Aven, what's up, man? Like, we're like, so we would compare notes and they're like, you went to, the basketball court we were playing the other day. So, it really was different seasons and it sucked having friends on the other side for sure. Yeah.
Let's get to the elephant in the room. Spencer, obviously, Bachelor Nation knows you. They got to watch you for many weeks. But the thing I said last week on this show was we didn't hardly hear from you all season. And why was that? Are you more reserved and quiet? Do you not feel like you had those big moments? Like, what was, when you look back now, what's your reasoning to why we just didn't get to see a lot of you?
I'm definitely a little more reserved. I wouldn't say I'm the ideal reality TV contestant. And for a lot of reasons, I'm not sure. I don't know, maybe just where I come from, trying to remain calm in stressful situations. I definitely lost it once or twice, but I don't think they showed it. I don't know. I don't really know what it is. I think behind the scenes, I was a lot, talkative, laughable, enjoyable. And I was just kind of worried about, what kind of edit you might get or might not get. So that kind of hurt my journey with Gabby actually looking back because I wasn't as open or as vulnerable as I probably should have been or could have been. So that's why you didn't hear me for sure. And again, it definitely didn't hinder my relationship with Gabby because she was putting herself out there, being the lead, Ben, you're giving it all out there from episode one. So that's something I definitely should have done. I'm just kind of like a more reserved, calm person. And I wasn't really acting up on the show a lot. So maybe executive producers didn't love that I wasn't maybe being as talkative or honest as I could have been for sure.
I always say that it's better to be a listener and be quiet and then to be the one that is out there instigating. So I think you did just fine, my friend.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Ben.
Everybody is wondering this week, Logan's departure. People are like, okay, wait. So the guys, they were fined out. What happened with Logan? They were also like mysterious about it. And did he really have COVID or did the producers want him off the show? So do you know the truth? Can you relay for us?
No, the internet's hilarious. They have me now questioning myself if Logan had COVID, because you guys have all these crazy theories. You see these memes of like that girl talking to that guy at that concert. Hilarious. But I think, no, as far as I know and I'm aware, he had COVID because he had to quarantine on his, on his like last couple of days out. They followed every protocol. So I have not heard otherwise. And in my experience being there, he had COVID. We didn't see him. We were actually pretty nervous. We retested and all that stuff. So if he didn't, I guess they're really kind of digging themselves in and they're not going to reveal if he did or didn't. But I personally think he did.
But then why did nobody else get it? And how would he have gotten it?
Because if you saw that date, we were like we were laying down on our backs and Gabby was like going from one to another, like maybe kissing a few of us. I don't know exactly who they were kissing or what. So when they were like, yeah, Logan has COVID, I was like, oh my God, we all have COVID. But I don't know. I don't know why. Honestly, I have no clue. I wish I knew, like for sure, because the internet now has me questioning like everything else about the show as well. So you guys are hilarious, especially Reddit. Reddit's out there with some crazy theories.
Stay off of it.
No, as far as
don't get on it.
He quarantined. He quarantined. Well, no one really talks about me because I was on the show for 4 minutes over six episodes, which is wild. So I'm just there for the good times and to see the jokes some of you guys make. Not you specifically, but some of the people.
Well, you get an upfront and very close seat to all of the happenings behind the scenes. Now, you mentioned that you've made some friends on this show. Who have you stayed really close with?
Definitely. I mean, for sure, a lot of the Chicago guys, you talk about like Nate, Mario, Colin, and Termaine. Beyond the Chicago guys, though, I think, wow, it's tough because I really do feel like I'm close with a lot of them. I'll say, I mean, for sure, the Gabby side, Eric and I were pretty close towards the end there. And Johnny was one of the most funny like people I've ever met. So I love Johnny as well, and I wish him nothing but the best. Maybe on the Rachel side, you know, Ethan, Avon, they were some good friends, and I really enjoyed seeing them on the boat when we would run into each other. And you guys, like, you run into them, I think, because we had to eat in the, that's where we ate in, like, the cafeteria on the cruise ship as well. So sometimes, like, when you're being taken from, like, the room to the cafeteria and you pass them in the elevator, like, you were, that wasn't supposed to happen. You're, like, pulling up and everything. So that was a good break in our day. But definitely those crew, Chicago, Eric, Avon, Ethan, yeah.
Oh, well, I want to ask you a whole bunch of cruise ship questions now, but I will keep it to Bachelor. Are you going to be on Bachelor in Paradise?
Ooh, I am not going to be coming up, but we'll see in the future. I'm still thinking about everything, and you guys, you know, you experienced it. So maybe I can ask you, is that something I should do?
Yes.
I never went. I've never
always
been.
Say yes.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Just Ashley, yeah, Ben, you need to go. Yeah, Ashley, yeah, you liked your time?
Yes. It was the most emotionally, emotional turmoil I've ever experienced. It was so difficult. It was like going through emotion boot camp, but obviously I have a husband and a baby from it, so I'm happy I went.
So highly recommend. 10 out of 10 for sure from Ashley. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Noted. Yeah. So that makes me want to go even more. No, I think it's a great time. From what I've heard, most people actually have said, you know, the exact same thing as you. You have, so I would love to go. And if it works out, I would definitely love to go for sure. I think, you know, it would maybe open me up a little bit. I think we just talked about how I'm quiet. And it would, it would be good for me to push my, emotional boundaries for sure on camera.
We love to play this game, Spencer, and you're going to love it too. You just mentioned that you're interested, or at least you're open to the idea of Paradise. If Paradise started tomorrow, knowing what you know about Bachelor Nation and not knowing anything about what happens during Paradise this year, who is somebody you'd want to take on a date in Paradise from Bachelor Nation?
Oh, boy. Wow. You're really putting me on the spot here. I asked the guys, I was like, should I have anything prepped? And they're like, no, just go in it. It's fun. You guys are good. No hard questions. Wow. I don't even know.
Yes, you do. You seem very educated. No, I mean, you seem like you know the franchise pretty well. All the main characters.
I don't think there's like one girl out there who I'd be like, oh, no, I wouldn't go on. Like every... You know, the past couple of Bachelor seasons I've watched, like 9 of every 10 of the girls are like, wow, she's adorable and hilarious and cute. Like, why would I not want to go on a date with that person? I think from Clayton season is probably the most recent one that I would like really be able to name. So I thought, you know, who I thought was just super sweet was like Teddy. She was super sweet the whole season. I would really like to get to know just as like a person. Well, I'm trying to go back.
I mean, that works. You said Teddy. I mean, we're Teddy fans here. We didn't see a lot of Teddy, you know, after really the first week of Clayton's. That was kind of a weird, like, she was...
Weird first impression, Rose.
Yeah, out of the gate, you know, everybody was talking about it, and then things kind of fizzled out. I don't know what happened there. Teddy would be a great choice. Spencer, I'd love to make that happen for you. Hopefully next year she's on the beach. Hopefully you're on the beach, and you guys are... able to go jet skiing in Mexico. That'd be really sweet.
Yeah, that would be a cool date for sure. I think I've reached my limit of dates with dominatrixes in Amsterdam, I think.
Oh my gosh, we were talking about that date last week, of course, and we were just like, you know, we don't always love group dates and we don't always love overtly sexual dates, but that one was pretty fun for us to watch as an audience, but we felt really bad for you guys.
No, it actually, so it was a super strange date to walk in on. And I think some of the memes about me were like so funny. Because I was like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? Like, what is going on? But it actually ended up being fun because we got to like at least show the audience some like personality. And for me, as someone who's like pretty non-talkative, that was fun for me to watch back. But yeah, it was a lot. It was interesting. Group dates are never perfect. So I think jet skiing in Paradise would be a little bit more intimate or enjoyable, especially in, you know, with someone like Teddy, who's just like adorable and just seems like a really sweet person. That's you know something I would enjoy.
Well, I'm wishing that you were there.
I wish you were there too, man. Hey, Spencer, it's really great to have you on. Thank you for giving us your time. I know that you're around a lot during this season. We were excited to have you on to get to hear more from you. We hope to see more of you in the future. But until we get to do that, until you come on again, thanks for coming on Almost Famous Podcast. It means a lot.
Dude, of course. Thank you guys. You guys are super amazing. I appreciate everything you guys do. Everyone I've talked to is like, oh my God, they're the best. Aww. You know, XYZ. So you have a bunch of fans within the community. So I
Aww.
Thanks,
that's
dude.
That's so nice to
That
hear.
Means a lot. That's going to make yes. my day.
I know. Yeah, please come back and give us all the details about the cruise ship and all the other things that you weren't able to say today.
Of course, Ashley. Thank you, guys. See ya.
Diaper Judy. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you. This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray. It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that you have to feel to believe. It smells great. It's incredibly light on your skin, not greasy. It's amazing. Plus, no chemical smell since it's aerosol-free. Better control means coverage you can count on with a precision pump to get all your big and little spots.
Plus, your new favorite sprayer is refillable. Save time and money, which means more fun in the sun from your friends at Banana Boat. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. If the sun's out, the fun's out. So be ready with all new Banana Boat 360 Advanced Control Mist.
It's available in Banana Boat's high-performance, water-resistant sport formula and pediatrician-tested kids SPF 50. That is what I'll be spraying on Dawson at the beach this summer. The kid loves the beach. I love going to the beach with him. I can't wait to be able to have a fun summer activity to do together. Anyway, I can go on and on about the importance of sunscreen, but shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
All right, this week's episode is hometowns. Obviously, there is a lot to discuss because there's a lot of hometowns. Ashley, let's get it started. What do you think of Jason's hometown?
Jason's hometown. My major takeaway is... he doesn't seem like super into it. He's not super into it.
I haven't felt like he's into it all season.
You don't think that he's been into like Gabby that much?
No, I think he is. I don't know if he knows how to express that he's into it. I said that I think after their first one-on-one where I was like, maybe everybody here is seeing something I'm not, but I just don't see it. Like, I think he's probably a great dude and I think they have some chemistry. I don't see like the flirtation that you would expect when we're at hometown.
No flirtation.
Yeah.
I feel no chemistry. I feel weird about this because when they were together in France, loved him, thought that he was the front runner. And then all of a sudden I felt nothing with this hometown. He seems like he's a nice family. That house was really opulent and fun to look at. But that was my biggest takeaway. That and the fact that his mom is the absolute opposite of your typical bachelor mom. She was like, oh, you're not ready to get engaged, but I want you to get engaged to this girl tomorrow. It was hilarious. And it made me think this mom is a bachelor fan mom. She signed him up for the show. Now her son is close to that like pinnacle final rose and he doesn't really care about it. And she's like, no, you should care about it. I want you to be happy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was fun to watch. Like you said, it was a good family. New Orleans is always amazing. Don't see the flirtation between the two of them. Definitely wouldn't put it up there in my top hometown date. So let's move on then to Zach's hometown, which took place in Anaheim.
Zach's hometown was nice. It was probably
with Rachel, obviously.
With Rachel, yes. Zach's hometown, to put it briefly, was probably the family that you'd most want to meet out of all the families we saw today. The family that, like, it went according to ideal plan. You know, I'm going to go meet the parents, and it went quite smoothly. They're very warm. I feel like they were warm. The dad was a little intimidating, okay? But I think overall, like, they accepted her.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a... I mean, I would say this. The beauty of hometowns is the uniqueness of each family. And so some people might see, for example, and we're going to get to it, like Tino's family and be like, wow, that was really bad. You know, and every season kind of has the family that doesn't enjoy the process and doesn't enjoy the idea of what's happening. I actually like it and I respect it to the point of where I'd say, yeah, smoothness is cool, but it's not, one, it's not great viewing pleasure, and two, we don't get to learn as much about the family as maybe I would ideally want.
We didn't get to learn as much as this family because they didn't have like as much of an in-your-face dynamic.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah.
I'd say that.
I get that. I totally understand that. But they did have a cute pre-date where they went and they watched the airplanes. I think that really kicked it off for me.
Yeah.
I think this guy, Zach, seems like, this is just a prediction on my part. Seriously, guys, we are not spoiled. I haven't been spoiled for seasons and seasons. My prediction is that they're really setting him up to be the heartbroken one, kind of like a Blake Hortzman. I feel like he's probably the one that she should pick in the end. And I think she's going to pick Tino, even though it seems like Zach, in my opinion, is way more genuinely invested.
I'm a Zach fan. I'm on Zach's team. And I agree with you.
I'm on Zach's team now, too.
I think what he's showing is that, one, he respects his family, that he respects Rachel, and that he also has this creativity around wanting to have these experiences with Rachel that will be memorable and meaningful. Yeah. And he's going out of his way to do that. And so I do. I like Zach a lot. Well, Gabby has her next hometown. It's Johnny's hometown. Johnny's an interesting hometown character to me. It's in Palm Beach, Florida, right? But he's kind of one that snuck up, just to share my thoughts. He snuck up on me. I can't quite fully read him, but he obviously has Gabby's interest, but he kind of came out of nowhere for me.
I think she's really physically attracted to him. And I think they have good, like fun, flirty, physical attraction, banter and chemistry. I don't know that they're not like long haul people. And I think we kind of like got a preview of that. Like he's basically says to his parents, like, I'm not ready to get engaged. I'm not going to get engaged now. And he made it seem like it's not her. I feel like he's not sold on the fact of being with Gabby long term. Not sure if he's sold there. And then I know he's not sold on getting engaged after such a short period of time. And his parents are actually, again, like Jason's parents, like they're kind of encouraging him to go for it. If he feels like it's right in 2 weeks or whatever the amount of time is that they have left, they go, you know, I think you are like mature emotionally enough. Yeah. Financially, you may not be, but that's something you can grow together. That conversation really stuck with me.
Yeah. Financially, just get engaged. It's going to work out. Don't worry about it. There's things that can happen. No, I mean, his family did. I enjoyed his family dynamic.
I loved his family.
Yeah, there was this back and forth, and there was this kind of like you'd hope in a parent where you express one thing and they might not agree with you, and so from a loving place they kind of tell you what they're seeing. I think we got that with Johnny's family, and I enjoyed that kind of dialogue. He's still up there for me. I mean, I don't know how long this lasts. But there is still this. I would put him above Jason now.
Me too.
And like, if we had to rank them,
yeah.
So
I wouldn't last week, but now after seeing the hometowns, I would. And I also just want to say about Johnny's family and just the conversation that he had with his parents. It was the first time, perhaps, or one of the very few times that I've watched, you know, the contestant talk to their parents and feel like this feels really authentic. Mm-hmm. This feels like there's a hidden camera going on. There's nothing like over the top about it. This really seems like a conversation, a serious conversation that I would have with my parents over dinner, and it would be on air and I wouldn't have even known it was filmed. I just really, really liked the vibe there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't disagree with anything you just said. The vibe of this hometown felt very, very hometown-ish on what you would expect and want and need. There's a little drama, there's a little intrigue, but then there's a lot of love. Well, speaking of drama and intrigue, we have Rachel's hometown next with Tyler. This one was very unexpected. It was in Wildwood, New Jersey. I didn't see this coming. Ashley, what am I referencing here?
You sort of saw it coming because last week we thought it was super weird that he didn't have a one-on-one and he was going into hometowns and meeting a family.
Why bring him to hometowns then? I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah. Lo and behold, we see that she doesn't actually meet the family. They go to Wildwood, which is, you know, basically like a fair carnival area on the Jersey Shore, you know, a boardwalk. And he owns one of the games there. So obviously he has a big community there. He plays the games and goes on rides with her. It's cute. You know, it's a cute lead up. It's a great day date before going home. And of course they have the cameras waiting.
Yeah, but he's so into it. I mean, that out of anybody so far, it feels like Tyler is sold out. I know this is my wife. I'm all in. Let's go.
He says, I'm not just falling in love with you. I am in love with you. And Rachel is like, cringing.
Yeah, stop. She goes, stop.
Heartbreaking. And damn, did he handle it like the ultimate gentleman? Like, could he have been more perfect in that moment?
No, he did really well. I think he's probably, he didn't even act embarrassed, which is probably how I would have acted.
Yeah.
Or like, just like, no, never mind. I take it back. I didn't really mean what I said. I don't know what I would have done, but he just took it in stride. And then, gosh dang it, Ash. I mean, son of a biscuit, his family.
Son of a biscuit.
His family was so hyped. And it was like, that was hard for me. I did my awkward, like, I can't watch the screen. I've got to walk away. Because it just was so hard for me to see how happy they were. And they wouldn't let the poor boy get a word out.
I know. He is just a sweetness. And my biggest takeaway from that date was this guy is going to be totally fine. This is not even the kind of guy that I worry about taking bachelorette fame and becoming an F-boy with. I think he just wants to find somebody to love. Mm. And he seems, to use a Ben Higgins word, just so lovable.
He is lovable. And he lives in Wildwood, New Jersey. I mean, he's got to be the most eligible bachelor in Wildwood, New Jersey now,
1,000%.
Right? I mean, I don't even know where that's at, but I mean, think about what he can offer you in life. You can always have a good time. You can play any game you want. You can ride rides with nobody else there. And he's good looking and sweet.
He's so cute.
Yeah. But that was hard to watch. His family, I yelled at the screen. I kind of do this. I have reactions. I was like, let him talk. Like, let him talk. He has to tell you you're taking the knife and you're stabbing it in a little farther every time you're like, Rachel. And they're like, Rachel.
But then he had like such incredible patience in that moment too.
Now, and there is something to be said, Ashley, because hometowns are wild and weird and wacky. There is something to be said about how the contestants navigate and communicate with their parents. It's also like you can see a little bit of their character behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And you could tell there that his character is strong. Like he obviously was not happy. He was probably a little upset with his family, but he just let it happen. And then he was like, hey, just to let you know, this is what happened. And then they all reacted well, but I really was impressed with him. Speaking of a man with character, our next home date, hometown date was with Gabby, and it's with Eric at Eric's hometown. She is in New Jersey as well. This, this hometown, obviously there's going to be a headline here in a bit. But just so everybody knows, Eric's father did pass away just a few weeks after this hometown date, which brings the gravity of this date and this moment and having it recorded, I feel like to an even, it brings it to even a more real level, a heavier level than it already was watching. But this, I mean, Ashley, I know I'm kind of like having a monologue here, but found out,
you know, that I can't speak about things like this. I just,
yeah,
I feel it and I can't put it into words.
That's fair.
He seemed like such a sweet, sweet man. You could tell that he was struggling.
Yeah. You could obviously see he was struggling. You could see the other family rallying around him and Eric, their excitement for Eric. The thing that also here I didn't want to just go unspoken is that Eric has been on this show doing the best he can, investing them as much as he can into this relationship with Gabby, while at the same time knowing his dad is at home. Now, some would say, like in past seasons, right, how could you leave him? I'm sure his dad wanted him to go. Like, I'm sure his dad said, like, you need to do this. Like, you need to continue to live your life. You don't know. I could be around for the next 40 years. I could be around for the next year. You don't know this.
Yeah.
And so let's not judge Eric for leaving. Let's give him some, I don't know if the word would be grace or just understanding on what his position now has been through this whole experience. It's had to be heavy on him. It's had to be on his mind. Yet he has done the best he can to try to still find love. And I want to give him kudos for that. I mean, I left when my dad was, you know, a week out of open heart surgery for my time on The Bachelor. It's really hard to be focused in the midst of that. And so, yeah, I'm impressed with Eric, I guess it would be how I sum all that up.
Me too. There was definitely a feeling of strength at that hometown date, and a feeling of like importance. Like, you knew that moment wasn't like a TV moment for them. Like, that was such a real life moment. And every moment at that point that he had with his son and he had with his dad counted so much, that like every time, I'm sure they were like, this could be the last time that I'm seeing him. I don't know. I obviously, again, I'm having my speechless moment, but it's just, it was a really, that was just like a moment. It's a moment that I'll remember watching.
Yeah. Being speechless over this is really okay. And I think many people will be speechless. And that's why, you know, I guess I did. I wanted to say like, hey, Eric was in it. Like, this is real life. This is one of those, and we haven't had a lot of those this season, but it's one of those where real life kind of comes into contact with the show. And it's no longer, like you said, a TV moment. And we all have to sit back and understand just what was happening, the sacred space that was existing in that room, knowing that his father was really sick and knowing that his family was all there, and just, yeah, what was being said and not said in that moment, you know, to protect his dad and protect Eric. But it was heavy. But also, I want to say it was very special because I think they grew closer together.
Agree. Like, I didn't really want to say anything along those lines either, but that is how I felt. It just feels like his dad is going to be like really watching over him for what he's going through right now, between like the show and whatever the after effects of the show are.
F cancer. F it. I don't like it. Nobody does. Sucks. And so many of us have had personal experiences with it that have affected us. So switching gears now to the final hometown date, which was Tino's. Obviously, this was going to be held to the end because it was the most controversial, the most confusing. We always have a date like this every season. I'm going to say some things there about this date, Ashley, that I know I'm going to get a lot of backlash for. Okay. Yeah. But this happened in Santa Clarita, California. I've messaged Tino. I like Tino. Like I do. And I think he has been a fan of the show coming into it, which is even more confusing to me on why his hometown date went the way it did. Cause I know his family has watched it. Like there's videos of them watching it together. I don't understand what was happening then in this environment. I think Tino is very into Rachel. So I will put that and say, I think he just really like actually likes her, believes that it could be his wife. But I would say this is 2 weeks in a row where Tino has been, hasn't had his best weeks. And I say this, and this is where people will probably get upset with me. I am confused on why his family was so against the process, considering they knew what he was getting into and they're fans of the show. I don't know where that was coming from. They would have to explain that. But it was his dismissal of his family's opinions that I felt like maybe rubbed me the wrong way. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if you disagree with me. But I felt like he almost was like, unlike maybe Johnny's Johnny's reaction, he just wasn't listening to what his family even was trying to say. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, but there's definitely just like different family relationships. Like my family is so close, you know, close, can't get much closer. And we talk to each other. Like if you heard the way that we talk to each other sometimes,
you would think you hated each other?
Yeah. Okay, like, that's fair. You remember one time I got on here and I thought that Lauren took my SD card and go, Lauren took my SD card, that stupid bitch. And yeah. I literally sound like angry at her. But like then I told her, I go, Lauren, I got on the podcast and I called Lauren. I said I called you a stupid bitch. And I think that people weren't used to the fact that that's how we like talk to each other. And she would like laughed, you know? And like my dad tells me all the time, Ashley, you're a pain in the ass, you know, stuff like that. So I can, if it's that, then it's that.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know,
that makes
sense.
Not
everybody has to be like so polite.
You have to know the dynamic.
Totally.
Okay.
I am more puzzled now that you brought up the fact that they're fans of the show. And now again, I'm worried about him just wanting to win because you know that that's been a concern of mine the past couple weeks, and I know that he's been a fan, but like somehow I'm like putting it together now, and like that final rose is something that he's like watched for years, which is obviously not unlike so many of us. I don't know why he's giving me F-boy vibes so much. And guys, again, like I said last week, it's not something I want to feel towards him, but I there's like something there I can't fully trust. His dad did say something on Instagram or on Facebook a couple weeks ago. This just came out, you know, Bachelor data. So he wrote a couple weeks ago, like Tino, a suitcase had more airtime than Tino did this week. He wrote that as a Facebook status. And he goes, I don't know who goes around recording data like this, like some nerd, but the data's out there. So that just makes me feel like the family is sort of, okay, I'm totally like kind of making up a storyline and being a little dramatic here, but I'm just, you know, I'm creating a podcast, creating thoughts, okay? What if like they really just were obsessed with having Tino get as much airtime as possible? And maybe them being fans, they kind of knew how to ruffle feathers and to get some good airtime on a hometown.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, we don't know. I don't know that that's true. I don't even think that's true. I'm just saying things now.
Well, here's what we do know. We know they're fans of the show before Tino went on. There's been videos of them watching it together, which to me is confusing on why then the reaction was the way it was about how upset they were that they were at this place. I don't know behind the scenes, and none of us do, but like Ashley said, she's creating a thought. This is what's going through her mind as she is playing back kind of what just happened during this episode. But it is confusing for me. This was definitely not the hometown date that either Rachel or Tino wanted. And then it also seems like it wasn't like the family didn't even want a hometown date. Like for Tino to show up and be like, hey, I'm really into this person. Like they were against it before he even walked in. It felt like, And I mean, my parents were, you know, super weirded out that I was, you know, claiming that this was going to be, you know, my partner after the show, and that I was bringing these girls to meet them. And, but you know, they were weirded out by it. I don't think they enjoyed the idea of it. Obviously today they don't enjoy the idea of it, but, they at least like gave the space to be open to it, because they knew that's what I was doing and they trusted me with that. And I felt like here they just weren't into it. And I don't know
why.
Did
it remind you of the date that you had with JoJo and her brother?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. I probably had a little bit of bad memories from that. Yeah, no, you're right. It did. I mean, it's just a weird environment to sit in where you're like, I don't know how to explain to you, you know, why we're sitting in front of you today, other than the fact that we're into each other and we're trying to figure this out. I don't know how to, I can't like explain away the show. I can't tell you it's going to work or it's not going to work. And so I don't know what kind of answers you're hoping from me today. Like I don't know how to give you answers without just telling you a bunch of fluffy things that sound nice and get us through this evening. But yeah, putting me in a corner doesn't help. That's kind of how I felt. And I think that's how I felt watching it was, you know, Rachel's getting there being like, hey, I'm really into this guy. And I potentially want to like be engaged to this man. And, by the way, his family has, definitely made it clear that they're not into it. I don't know if that's how you want anybody to leave.
Well, Tino seemed to like be like, no, everything's fine. They love you. And she was like, no.
Yeah, that was weird to me. Yeah. That was weird to me that he tried to do that. I mean, that was like, I think he was trying to save face and trying to make it like, so he slept better at night. But yeah, that was a weird, I mean, if that's how they show like their love and support, then I would have other questions.
I don't know. The more I think about this, the more I'm thinking these people love the show. Maybe they talked to producers beforehand. Producers, they were like, you know, put some ideas in their head. And then they're like, yeah, let's roll with this.
Oh goodness. I hope not. Well, next week we get Avon's hometown date and the Mintel All. We're looking forward to Avon's hometown date. That's all we got for this episode is hometowns. Most of them, not all of them. Again, Avon is next week. Mintel All is next week. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, Mintel All feels like it's going to be a little bit calm.
You know I hate Mintel.
Yeah, I know.
There was no fighting here. Why even have one? Skip it.
All right. Hey, Ashley, we got Bachelor headlines to roll right into. We've talked about a few of them already. Obviously, Wells and Sarah's wedding was incredible. I have some amazing stories that at some point on this podcast I'll share from the wedding, but I want to give Wells and Sarah the space to show and share everything they can from their very special day before I give all the little like details and the funny moments in between, okay, of the people that were there and some of the awkward run-ins. But Jessica and I did have an incredible time. And Bachelor Nation did come out to celebrate with them. And we are excited for them as they now officially can be a husband and wife, which they've been waiting for years. We also, you know, I just want to again say, hey, Eric, if you ever listen to this podcast, we're thinking about you and your family. Your dad showed courage and strength and grace during this episode. It's all I've ever been able to see of him. It's all Ashley's been able to see of him. All a lot of us that watch his show have ever been able to see of him. But it was a special moment watching that dynamic in that hometown. I know it carries a lot of weight. I know it was probably hard to see over, but your dad was a courageous man from what we saw. And so take that for what you will. But moving on then to the headlines we haven't got to talk about. The Bachelor Clayton and also his contestant. Are they engaged?
His contestant.
Yeah, are they engaged?
His girlfriend? His girlfriend. No, okay. They're not.
Susie are no longer living together and they're going to do long distance. They're going to live in different states, which is not what they told us when they were on this podcast.
So this was like dramatic online, but they claim it's not really dramatic. So they did move to Virginia together. Clayton moved there for her. And then on the podcast, they alluded to being open to moving other places. Well, they are going to move back to where he was living, Scottsdale, Arizona. But while they're getting that house together, they're going to be a little bit apart. Clayton is going to be in Arizona and Susie is going to be in LA. They said they also are only 50 minutes a flight apart. They're both chasing their dreams. And it's a commuter, but for right now, that's going to work for them. And what I read, it was mostly about them like settling eventually in Arizona and not so much going back and forth. But according to this article from People, it's looking more like it's a long-term, long-distance relationship.
Well, we want them to be happy because they seem like they're supportive and caring for each other. And so long distance doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, my wife and I did long distance for a long time. Many of you listening have done long distance. I don't know if it's ideal or not ideal. It worked out for us. It works out for many. So maybe it's going to work out for them. But we want them happy because they seem great together. And we really like the two of them together. They've been through the ringer. I mean, they've been through a lot with each other so far. Well, Ashley, the final headline today is really about Nate Mitchell. He's still making headlines here, even since his departure from the show. We have articles and headlines here about people threatening to not watch the show if he's The Bachelor. We also have people then here saying, hey, we want him to be The Bachelor, that this is unfair for people to still be talking about the way, you know, this situation went down, where one person on TikTok kind of said that they're dating Nate and he didn't tell him about his daughter and that he was also dating other people at the same time. He has a quote for it, and you can break down anything I didn't say there, Ashley. He said, the reason that, you know, people didn't meet his daughter is because you have to get through a king to get to the queen, is a quote from Nate Mitchell about this situation.
Mm-hmm. And he set this message to Will Smith's Just the Two of Us. It was pictures of them, daughter and father, in front of Cinderella's castle. And just basically denying the fact that Nate ever cheated on the girl who we discussed last week. She claims, his ex claims, that he was DMing another girl during the relationship and that she learned about him having a daughter on TV, even though they dated for a year and a half. That is obviously a big deal. But people are rallying to make him not The Bachelor. People really don't want him to be The Bachelor after all these rumors. Just a little tidbit here. Dustin Kendrick, you know, Peter Weber's bestie, he is longtime friends with Nate, and he says, first off, let me say this, Nate is not an angel. He's not a perfect guy, but I feel like you don't go and try to tarnish someone's name because a relationship didn't work out. It seems childish to me. So who knows whatever happened there, but I would say that this is enough speculation in the hardcore Bachelor community, you know, the people that spend a lot of time talking about it and researching on the internet, that he won't be the next Bachelor. And because of that, because he seemed to be a front runner for next Bachelor with this cast of guys, people are starting to think that Greg Rippo might be the next. This guy's name is just going to keep popping up until they make him The Bachelor. He's just got a lot of fan support behind him.
Yeah, I saw that. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be surprised. He'd be, you know, if somebody said, and we'll do an episode where we kind of break down who do we think will be the next Bachelor. He'd probably be he would be at the top of my list on who I think could be it, but there's some others out there as well. Well, Ashley, final little headline, I guess, just to say, not Bachelor Nation affiliated, but J-Lo and Ben Affleck got married. Woohoo! Big deal.
I'm very passionate about this.
Okay.
I love those two together so much.
My goodness.
Look at him. He's rolling his eyes at me. I'm sorry, but they're like two of my favorites separately and even better together. Jared and I feel like we would be best friends with Ben Affleck. He has a lot of similar interests, and his passion for all the things that he's interested in just really hits our heart. We really support Ben. We've loved this relationship. back 20 years ago, and we were very excited when it reignited last year. I haven't seen any pictures yet. I feel like J-Lo's dress pictures like aren't out there. The actual ceremony pictures aren't out there. Truly, I found their Vegas wedding more thrilling than the big elaborate wedding because it was a little less expected. But either way, I think this is happy news, and I think it's a really cool story. I just hope it lasts, you know? Yeah. Two huge personalities. We'll see.
I hope they listen to this podcast, and I hope they know that we're both offended we weren't invited to their wedding. Hey, Ashley, that's all we got for everybody today. We'll be back next week breaking down Avon's hometown date and the Mintel law and everything good happening in Bachelor Nation and also what's happening in our lives. I think at that point I'll be able to give some more funny details, a couple funny stories from the Wells and Sarah wedding, but it was special. Again, congratulations to the two of them. Congratulations to Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez on their wedding. Until next time, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant, sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has
existed.
You have
an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.